And we're back again. This is Ellen Thurston. I'm here with Jake, the engineer, and two guests from Art Omi. In the town of Omi? No. There used to be a town of Omi, I think.
I think it's the hamlet of Omi.
Oh, the hamlet.
In the town of Ghent.
In the town of Ghent. That's the voice of Akimi Hyatt from Art Omi, and Christopher Morgan is also with us.
Hi, good afternoon.
Welcome. Who's the director of the dance residency program at Art Omi. And we're here to talk about the program that's going to happen this Saturday to show off what's been happening with the art of the dance residency program. So take
it
away.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So again, I'm Christopher Morgan, and I've been directing the dance program at Omi for about 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
And our entire organization actually is closing in on 25 years that we've been here in Columbia County, providing residencies for visual artists, writers, musicians, dancers, and more recently, architects. So I've been here for the past 2.5 weeks working with dancers from 6 different countries, and they've been collaborating with and on each other, making a series of works that inhabit our 150-plus acre sculpture park, as well as our old barn. So it's a really wonderful way to see not just what the dancers have been making, but also our beautiful facilities that have contemporary sculpture from important artists from all over the world, both recent and historical.
Is there a performance space in the barn?
So this beautiful old barn that we have, throughout the summer, it keeps converting. It houses over 30 visual artists mm-hmm. when they're there in June, and then we actually move walls around and open up the space so that it can accommodate the dance floor that we put down for these artists.
Oh, I see.
And so it does kind of create some informal performance spaces. But one of the really interesting things that happens is the artists, the choreographers, when they're here, they're usually very inspired by the different spaces, both the kind of nooks and crannies around the barn. There's an old grain silo. There's these kind of funky sculpture sheds in the back. And then, of course, the sculpture park itself. So between all these different places, we actually move the audience throughout the grounds as the performance happens.
Wow. Sounds pretty exciting.
It really is. It's very, very visual to watch, actually, and very immediate. And I think that's one of the best things about it. For people who've never seen contemporary dance or who don't feel like they can understand dance, it's not at all alienating and it's not at all exclusive. Anybody can come and enjoy it. And we actually did an event at PS21 that was a facilitation of an audience feedback to alumni works, and have been working with them for a while on that, and actually applied for a grant and were turned down because the people awarding the grant felt that it was too alienating for people. So we actually really want to bring in the public and bring in people into the process of art making at Omi in general through all the residency mm-hmm. programs. But the dance event on Saturday is really remarkable, and it also is a little bit of surprise. You don't really know what's going to happen, and you'll just need to give up your expectations and be led and see what happens to you.
How many sculptures are there in this 150 acres? I
can never get
has anybody counted recently?
No, we generally say there are more than 80. Some of the areas of the park are sort of devoted to a certain artist, so they might have 4 or 5 pieces. We had a show with Tom Doyle pieces that were really elegant and kind of like layered in the landscape, and then we have a few by Catherine Lee, but there are over 80 works of art and architecture in the park. So it's really, and the dancers also interact with the landscape in a way as like a kind of a stage or, you know, something like that, another character, and the benches, the pond, it's really beyond just the sculpture sometimes.
I was actually watching a rehearsal today, getting ready for the Saturday's mm-hmm. performance, and they're using one of these gigantic fields, and it's such a rare opportunity for dancers to be able to inhabit a really large space and play with perspective, just like visual artists and filmmakers play mm-hmm. with perspective. Often when we're working in a traditional theater space, the perspective is very defined by that space. So to be able to have dancers disappear beyond the crest of a hill out of eyesight or coming very slowly towards you from a great distance, it creates new possibilities for us as visual artists, as well as what the body is doing. So, yeah, I think Akemi's point about the landscape becoming part of the experience is really important, both for the audience and the artist.
I think the artists themselves must be very excited about suddenly having that much space. Or is it? Does it sort of create such awe that they don't know what to do?
I think it's a bit of both. I think there's an excitement and a wonder and a curiosity as to how to address that sort of large scale. One of the things, my little secrets, every year, for several years now, one of the first exercises we do before the choreographers have gotten to see the sculpture park is we do a series of exercises where half of them close their eyes and don't get to see the space, and we lead them through it and give them the sense of touch and sound, and then we'll reveal to them what they've been playing and moving and dancing in and seeing the space to kind of create that connection to this space from a tactile sense first, and then to the complete sense of scale and wonder that this park, I think, tends to inspire.
Are these artists dancers or choreographers, or doesn't it make any difference?
That's a great question. It's a little bit of both. What we ask for in our application process is that the applicants are a bit of both, and that their work sample reflects that. So because we invite the dancer choreographers here to make work with and on each other, they do have to do both roles. And much like our sister program, Music Oh My, which is also founded around collaboration, it's really, as much as it is about the discipline of dance or music, it's also about what happens when these very different people from different parts of the globe with different aesthetics and perspectives, cultural backgrounds, and even languages, what happens when they come together? There's already an inherent sharing of ideas because of the medium that they work in, but then these other things that are their differences come up and create a really dynamic work environment. It's about navigating that.
Sounds pretty exciting. Do these collaborations stick in the sense that when the residency is over and they all go their separate ways, do they ever actually come together, as far as you know, to create work out in the real world?
That's a really beautiful thing about this work. Our executive director, Ruth Adams, who runs OMI and used to run the visual arts program for a few years, several years ago, often says that the residency is really just the seed that's planted and the work grows afterwards. One of the things I've witnessed in doing Dance OMI for the last 10 years is continued collaboration. There was an amazing pair from the Philippines and the U.S. that worked about three times in the years that followed. There's a really interesting quartet of women, one from Latvia, one from France, one from, oh goodness, Singapore, and one from Hungary. And so these three European Union countries and the Singaporean women, they made a collective called the EU and a Little Mistake. It was great. And they collaborated the following year. They met in the Czech Republic, and then they premiered a work in Singapore and toured it to Beijing and Hong Kong, and then they met again in Finland. So I think they're a kind of stellar example of how something can continue. But then even beyond that, I think the exposure to artists who you would otherwise not meet and to ideas and cultural experiences that are very different than your own but still feed that kind of creates a pond ripple that lasts far beyond the 2.5 weeks they spend at our campus. And I think that's true of all of our different programs at OMI.
Yeah, definitely. There are so many stories of residents that continue to collaborate afterwards, who have won awards for their work. It's interesting, the more we do this, the larger the list of alumni grows. And I actually kind of I try my best to keep track of this. I have a little newsletter where I follow their achievements afterwards, and it's been amazing. Some of them, like one of the residents that we had from the art program in the early 2000s or late 90s, was Cuban, and she has done a lot of work about political action, and just was given the first residency by the mayor's office of New York City to work on their immigrant ID card. So she's an artist in residence in New York now, and does a lot of, you know, it's just very cool to watch them grow afterwards. Not that, you know, and imagine that I'm surely, like, the residency must have played a part in that. So, So it's great. And then a lot of them come back and maybe, you know, just through their careers might show at OMI or perform at other events. We have an event on the 19th of September. That's a fundraiser for us that a Dance OMI alumni will be doing a special performance at. So they become part of the larger OMI family.
Great. How many ex-residents are there? Do you have any idea?
I don't know.
I know for dance we have just over 100 alumni as of this cohort, for lack of a better word, of who's in right now. And music, they tend to host about 15 musicians a year, and they're near a good 17 years old, so there's the math of that. It's got to be numbering into the thousands, I would guess.
Definitely the art residency has hundreds and hundreds of past applicants. And we serve about 100 to 150 residents a year.
A year, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And do you do cross-discipline programs? I mean, do the musicians get together with the dancers at any point during the year, during the summer? This is all in the summer, right?
At the moment, aside from our writers that have two sessions in spring and fall, about two months long, and then we have roughly about a month each of dance, music, and visual art that occupy the summer. So you've asked the golden question, actually. I think it's something that a lot of us dream and think about. In some ways, our facilities are kind of at their max in terms of calendar. But yeah, that interdisciplinary program would be a beautiful addition to what we do. So it's something that we dream about. Interestingly, I think at least with dance, I can speak most, the international collaboration presents so many wonderful, interesting challenges and things to navigate that in alone is often far beyond what the residents expect when they arrive. And I think one of the great things about all of the programs is that it is a lot about the unexpected because of the diverse population that you're going to be meeting and working with while in residence at OMI. So much of the unexpected arises. And then I think also with visual art, there's such a range of what visual art is now, from media artists to traditional painters and sculptors to people working completely in digital formats, that how that functions is also very different in terms of people that are bringing all different types of inspiration and mediums into their work too.
Definitely with the artists, I've observed, and also just in general, a melding of disciplines. People seem to not really identify as just a photographer or just a painter, but they're artists.
And
and we've seen a lot of growth in that. Christopher can definitely speak more to dance, but all of the residents, even the musicians, some of them have backgrounds in performance, playwright, you know, so it's at a certain point, I think that it's all art. Mm-hmm. It's all valid. And,
right.
And, you know.
Jake has been at music camp last week.
Yeah, right. Last week.
And his experience is sounding, from what I heard you say before, is very much like what you're describing.
Yeah. You ever heard of Roots Rock Revival Fest, maybe? No? It's in Big Indian, New York, down Woodstock.
I know where that is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And, like, they brought, I mean, it was a pretty exclusive kind of thing. There was only, like, 100 people, but they brought, you know, people from all over the country heard about it. People from Chicago come, Louisiana, whatever. And like, we basically, like, just, like, learned and jammed for, like, a week straight with, like, the drummer from the Allman Brothers,
wow.
Butch Trucks. Who else was I saying? Otel Burbridge. He's a famous bass player guy. I mean, good, like, awesome people. And this, like, 12-year-old guitar prodigy was there, and it was crazy. It was an awesome experience.
That's great.
That's awesome. Well, you could apply for a music OMI. We usually save a spot for a local.
Yeah. Where's that?
Oh, that's right.
That's at our campus at OMI.
Yeah.
As well.
In Ghent. In Ghent.
In Ghent.
Just down the road.
In this next summer.
Next summer.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll keep that in mind.
Well, tell us more about this production that's going to happen on Saturday.
Sure. It's a beautiful event to culminate the residents' experience and give them a way to show what they've been working on. We host this event at OMI. It starts at our visitor center, the Charles Benenson Visitor Center, which is right on County Route 22. There's ample parking there. And usually what happens, I'm actually still trying to figure it out with the dancers, is that the audience starts there and they take a walk through the fields and they see site-specific dances made for these specific places throughout the fields.
Do they have a map?
Usually they have a host. Each year I invite one resident back. One alumni comes back. So from 2013, we have a fantastic mentor this year named Benjamin Van Buren, who splits his time between Vermont, Brussels, and Istanbul. And so he's this year's co-facilitator with me. So the two of us tend to be a bit play host to the audience, and we'll help move the audience through the sculpture park. You'll see probably about four different dances through the sculpture park, and then we make our way over to our barn and see a bunch of different things there. In fact, speaking of all the different media, we might see a little bit of film work that's been generated while they've been here. One piece that looks almost more like an installation than a dance performance per se, because it's really about the relationship between light and sound in a very intimate space. Another work made by a woman from India that in collaboration with her fellow residents that's looking at small dark spaces and subjecting the audiences to that. So there's a lot of adventure that happens in this performance as well. And it ends up being a long journey, but we always take good care of our guests there. There will be a chance to stop and talk with the artists, have a cup of tea with them, and maybe a cookie or something like that. So it's a really fun afternoon event. It's a great event to bring your entire family to. I think the sculpture park is really conducive to young people seeing both the beautiful landscape and the artwork, but also seeing it activated by the dancers, and kind of opens up a new way of looking at the artwork as well.
And what time does it start?
2 p.m. this Saturday afternoon.
And you have the great outdoors, so you can have an unlimited number of people in your audience, I would think.
Pretty much, yeah. We've gotten nearly 200 people have come in the past, and Christopher or, you know, one of his staff, they do a great job of facilitating everything, so people really feel cared for. It's intimate, even though there's so many people, but you're outside, and so
right.
you just...
So
kind of
no reservation is needed.
No, it's free. It's open to the public, and there's more information on our website, which is www.omiartcenter.org. And there you can also find our calendar of upcoming events, including some of the writers' readings later in the fall.
Great. And that's at Route 22 at letter S.
That is roughly near where it'll be. I think people should probably plan to come to the visitor center, which is at 1405 County Route 22. And letter S is the next cross street. So
oh, I see.
You'll be
1405 Route 22.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should tell your GPS.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Great. Is there anything else we need to know?
I don't think so. I think you covered it.
Yeah. Just thanks so much for having us. It's such a pleasure to meet you and connect with your listening
audience.
And you,
and thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Really sounds interesting.
Thank you.
Thanks.